It is so good to see each and every one of you here this morning.
Amen.
So good. There's a picture that I've mentioned before from the pulpit that I want to mention to you again, because it's something that sticks in my mind, especially when in the midst of a storm. There's a couple things that stick in my mind when I'm in the middle of a storm in life. This picture, it's in the Louvre in Paris, and it's a rock that's got the dark black clouds around it and the raging waves coming up. And on top of the rock is this scrawny little seagull baby. And, you know, you look at this little scrawny seagull, and you see these little stick pin legs and these flat feet, and his feathers are being just ruffled up from the wind, and the storm is all around. There's a picture there. Now, try to imagine this picture, this rock in a storm like this, with a bird sitting on the top of it, with utter confidence as it stands there with the storm all the way around. And it would only take one moment for the water or wave to come up and just flash over the rock and knock that bird off the rock. But the picture depicts security and strength and confidence in spite of the storm and the threats that are around them. And I like that picture. It's an image in my head that reminds me of my faith, that says that we are to stand in Christ no matter what the storm is, because we can. Not because we have to muster up the strength to do so, but because we can in Christ. The other thing that I will find myself thinking about in the middle of a storm is the spiritual check. My spiritual check is this. Okay, Lord, first of all, this storm's going on. I don't like it. So would you please tell me if I've sinned? would you kindly tell me if I've done something wrong? I really don't want to hear that I've done something wrong, but I do want to hear from you if I have. You know what I'm saying? There's a part of me that's saying, I don't like to be told that I'm wrong, but I also don't want to not know as well. I want to know from you where I'm at with you. And if I'm wrong and I'm being stubborn, then I am ignoring you because you're trying to direct me in a certain direction. So I ask God, okay, God, if this is discipline on my life, this storm that's around me, and you're correct, is there something standing between you and I that I need to confess and repent of, then let me know. So if God tells me, then I confess and repent. But if he said no, there's nothing standing between us. You know, your conscience is clear. I know it and you know it. There's nothing standing behind me. Then that tells me that in the middle, I'm exactly in the will of God in the midst of the storm. He put me there. And in that, I can stand absolutely confident that no matter how raging the storm is around me, that I could be like that helpless bird on a rock, because the rock represents, in my mind, the solidness of Jesus. So if I'm in fellowship with God in the middle of a storm, then I know the storm is there to shape me. If I'm out of fellowship in the middle of a storm, I know the storm is there to direct me. And so it's good that we have that checkpoint. I have that checkpoint with God. And I tell you, it's nice to know when God says we're good. We're good, right? And so we need to trust God in the storm. Trust God in the storm. There's a picture in the Bible that reflects this. It's in Mark 4:35-41. And it says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, Jesus had been preaching to the multitude. All day he'd been ministering, preaching, talking, sharing his word. And he's tired. Because as a man, we get tired. I got to tell you, honestly, when we're sometimes in the ministry, and I'm sure there are other arenas, whether you're teaching with kids or wherever you're at, when we're in the midst of a variety of personality, variety of thinking, and we're interacting with each other, we have to shift gears almost instantaneously to be able to communicate with each other. Sometimes that's necessary to make point. And it's exhausting. And Christ was preaching the word and he was tired. Right? And he says, let's go over to the other side. He tells the disciples, that's the mission. So it's like they were at church. They heard the preaching, but then they heard the instruction from Jesus. And the instruction was, I want to go to the other side of the lake, Lake Gennesaret. Not Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee. And so they're going over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. He didn't take anything with him. He just came as he was. And other little boats were also with him. So I thought it was pretty interesting. We always think about this boat in the middle of the storm, but we don't think about the other boats that were following. These are other fishermen following Jesus. And you and I are called to follow Jesus, right? And there are people that will follow after Jesus to try to find out what Jesus is like, but never receive him and walk away from the truth. And so there are those that are exploring the gospel message of the Christian faith that might look at it and look at it squarely in the eye and then turn around and say, I don't want it. And I kind of think maybe some of these boats were the curiosity followers of Jesus, but then when they saw the storm, being fishermen, they probably knew they needed to turn back. But Jesus had told the disciples to go to the other side. They heard the message. They heard the instruction. They were obedient to what God had told them to be. Now, you remember what I said about that story, that if we're in the middle of a storm in our life and we don't know why, check ourselves if we're in fellowship or not. And on top of that, know that God is always with us. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So God was with the disciples. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, I don't know about you, but I get nervous. I guess I have a little bit of a phobia about that. Carolyn and I do, at least. Get us out on water. But if I see this, the commercial with the guy with the super black sealer, the underwater tape, the glass plexiglass boat in the water. Just seeing him in that boat going across the water, I think, well, that's cool. You can see through it. And then I think, water coming up. If I think about old movies and water coming up, or if I think about a cartoon and the duck is putting his foot over the water, But you know what happens to me? No matter where I see the water coming up in the boat, I see myself, even now, silly as it is, having anxiety. I don't like the thought of being in a boat that's taking on water. Do you? Not me. I don't want to pale anything out. And this boat was filling with water. It wasn't just a little water. It was filling with water. And Steve and I went fishing, and the wind was blowing, and the waves were pretty rough, and Steve's on the back just going, wide open, sitting back there, and hitting the waves and that type of thing, and there was water in the boat. It was kind of fun and kind of a little nerve-wracking for me. And I didn't want to look at Steve for reassurance because he was having too much fun. But the point is, the boat was filling. In our life, sometimes circumstances will come into our life where we feel like our life is filling up with trouble, filling up with anxiety, filling up with the thought of what's going to happen, filling up with threat, filling up with our own logic, looking at a real situation and going, what am I going to do? This is real. This is happening. If someone doesn't intervene, if something doesn't change, I'm going to hit the wall and there's not going to be any help. And we can find ourselves looking at the boat filling up and getting to a place where find ourselves at a place of hopelessness or despair. We allow our anxiety to get to a place that we're like, I have no control, I can't do anything about this, and I'm going to hit the wall, and this is what's going to happen, and our logic kicks in, and we think I'm going down. And we have a choice right there as believers. The choice is, will we accept that we're going down, or will we accept that Jesus is with us? I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus said. He loves us beyond measure. Only he allows things in our life only for our good, to shape us and to mold us and to make us into the people he wants us to be. So the disciples are looking at this and they see the boat filling. Now, they're experienced fishermen. They grew up on this lake. And they're used to the winds that would come over the mountains and the valley crevices that surrounded the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And the wind would come down. The water was below sea level, a few hundred feet. And the wind would come over and whip across the water, and a storm would hit like that. They were used to that. Now, you would think that if you are brought up on this lake fishing and you're handed down that trade over and over, you're used to the storm hitting, that you would be a little bit enduring to the elements. It wouldn't be quite as intimidating, but not this time. These guys were terrified for their life. That's what happens when we get to that place of anxiety, that we look at all the reasoning, all of our logic, all the circumstance around us, all the turmoil around us, and we assess all of it and we say we're going down. But God doesn't want us to think that way. He wants us to make a decision right then and there that says, I will either trust you, God, or I'm not going to trust you. And our choice, God desires, is that your choice and my choice is to trust God even when we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Even if we don't see the course that's going to get us out of the way, God is our Father. He loves us and he's going to take care of us. But he usually does it in ways that we don't expect, because he wants to prove who he is to us. It's interesting that God continues to prove himself to us. Why? That our faith will grow. He wants to reveal himself to us, that our faith will grow. In verse 38, but he was in the stern. He was at the back of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Not me. I mean, there's a picture there. I mean, you know, it wasn't smooth sailing. No, I could say no pun intended, but yeah, it was intended. Here's Jesus at the back of the boat with his head on a pillow. I guess the high waves must have just rocked him to sleep. You know? He was perfectly content, stable, and secure enough to be able to sleep in the middle of the storm. Now, our son Gregory, when he was in the Navy, and we were walking, he was taking us on tour through his ship, a frigate, and he said, Dad, we'd be out in the middle of the ocean, and we would have these huge waves that were, you'd see the swells that were 30, 40 or more feet deep. And he said, we would go, here's the wave coming up, and the swell was down here. The ship would go down, and then when it came up, it didn't come up around the wave, it came up by going through the wave to the other side. And we were in the, I don't know the area you do, where the captain is steering the ship, and it's so cool. The steering wheel on the ship was this big. There's no lie. It was like you could drive it like this. I don't know what the gear mechanism was on that thing, but it was amazing. I said, you're kidding. It wasn't the sailor one. It was this little gear, little. And there's all this glass window in front, and this huge bow that was a pointed front, and it was down a level or so. And I'm thinking, that huge thing with all that plate glass went down like this and threw a wave? Yeah, Dad. And how are you? Oh, I was fine. But not everybody else was throwing up. You know? And it was a mess. And Greg had told me, he said, Dad, you know what, I'm not worried. If I die, God's taking me home. I know where I'm going. Now, Greg will say that just point blank, straight out. If I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm fine. But it goes back, I'm not calling him the bird, but I go back to the bird. Standing on the rock in the middle of the storm saying, I was fine. You know, he never got seasick. Ever. And he withstood the storm. You and I are called to do that. And we need to know that Jesus is with us even if we don't sense that he is. Because Aren't there times in our walk with Jesus where you feel like he's distanced himself from us? I mean, we might say to ourselves, am I out of fellowship? Have I done something wrong? But then again, we do the boat check and we check with ourselves. God, is there something wrong? If we're clear and we're good, then we know there's not anything wrong. But you still, there's kind of a sense that God is distant from us. Yet we know that he's promised that he's with us. That's how the disciples were feeling. It's like Jesus was disconnected from their circumstance. He was non-responsive. There have been times in my walk with Jesus, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, where it's like, God, I expect you to do something, and I expect you to do something now. I expect you to do it this way. The reality is God doesn't operate that way. Because he wants to stretch our faith. He wants us to trust him, even if we don't see the way out, know that he is our security. And know that he will take care of us. Even if we die, we know where we're going, from life to life, not from death to death. So Jesus was asleep on a pillow in the stern, and they woke him and said to him, now this is interesting, this is kind of intriguing to me. He's sound asleep, rocked asleep, sound asleep, absolutely secure, on this back of the stern of the boat, and they wake him up and they go, right, what do they say? They say, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, if I was sound asleep or you were sound asleep, would that indicate you knew nothing was going on? I mean, if I'm sound asleep, the world is gone. I'm gone. I'm dead to the world. Right? But they came up to him. They shook him and said, don't you care about what's going on? Like he was aware. He's sound asleep. But you know, and I know right now, you're already thinking it. Well, he probably was aware. Even though he was physically, as a man, still sound asleep. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Would you have liked to have been that seagull on that boat watching that happen? No? You know, there's another way that I picture Jesus getting out there and he goes to the wind and he goes, knock it off and be at peace. Just knock it off. And almost like that, the wind stops and the water's calm. Isn't that how God works in our life sometimes? We're in the middle of it. And it is churned up. And we're frustrated. And we don't know the way out. But then all of a sudden, we're on the other side of the lake. The storm is over. What's happened is behind us. And at that point, we ought to be reflecting on what Jesus did. How he delivered us. How he rescued us. How he protected us. How he gave us that peace. But see, God doesn't want us to have peace that's just the effect it's over. That type of peace. He wants us to have peace in the middle of the storm. But we can't have peace in the middle of the storm unless we have faith. And we can't have faith unless we go through the storm. Because that's how God builds our faith. We have a decision to make that we're going to trust him. As we trust him through the storm, we see what God does. Our faith grows, and our testimony is what God has done that we can rely on for the things in the future. God's got me out of this stuff before. God will get me out of this too. That's faith. But it comes through experience. Verse 40, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The disciples were with Jesus from his baptism. Jesus is doing his ministry. Do you know the scriptures talk about, I mentioned it before many times, that if everything that was recorded that Jesus did in the 3 years of his ministry on earth, the world would not be able to contain all the books about the things that he did. We only have a portion, a select few, that is recorded for us to have. So they saw wondrous things that Jesus had done. Wondrous things. Miraculous things. Things that we don't even know about. And so no wonder Jesus said, where's your faith? What's wrong with you, man? Where's your faith? That's what he's saying. Haven't you seen me? Don't you know who I am yet? Do you believe who I am? Do you accept who I am? Are you willing to accept enough to trust me in this in any given circumstance? Because that's what God wants. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? They feared exceedingly. The disciples were in God's will and obedient to him. Remember in the beginning, God told the disciples at church. They heard what was being said. And many, they heard the instruction, get in the boat, we're going to the other side of the lake. And they got in their boat, they were in God's will, and the storm came, they were still in God's will. God was working something to prove who he is and to show his majesty and to show his power, that they might grow in faith and confidence in him. That's how we should look at the storms. But we're human, right? The storm hits, we don't respond necessarily that way. Instantaneously. Storm was out of their control. Even though they were experienced fishermen, this storm was different. They were terrified for their lives. They were concerned that Jesus wasn't caring about them. Yet Jesus knew what was going on. You know that, and I know that. Why do we know that? There's a term in theology. It's called hyperstatic union. And what that means is that Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. They're not mixed together, but they're one. Hyperstatic union. That means that Jesus as a man was tired and slept at the back of the boat. But Jesus as God knew what was going on and what his purpose was. Do you presuppose that when he said we're going to the other side, that Jesus already knew the storm was going to hit? Or maybe even so that he said, I'm going to make this storm hit. Because I'm God. So when we're in the middle of those circumstances, let me ask a couple questions. Is it correct to put forth our faith in Jesus when he seems not to care? Do you get it? Well, you don't care. I'm not putting my faith in you. You know what we're saying? We're saying, God, you're not responding the way I expect you to right now and here and now. Therefore, I won't put my faith in you. You see, we do draw those lines sometimes. God, you're not being the God that I want you to be right now. Well, we aren't supposed to make God the God that we want. We have to accept the God that he is. Otherwise, we would make God, our own way, which is idolatry. The second question is, when he appears not to be aware or responsive to what is going on, do we choose to put our faith in him? There has to be a resolve in our walk when in the midst of all of it that we take a deep breath and we go, okay, God, you got this. I don't know how, but I know you're with me and you've got it. And I'm going to trust you and I'm going to watch with anticipation to see how you work through this situation. And you're working something wonderful for me through this. That will increase my faith. Praise God for that. As a man, Jesus experiences and knows and understands our trouble. And as God, Jesus knew all that was happening. Do you suppose that Jesus wanted the disciples, when they asked them, don't you care, basically, that he just wanted to say, I want your faith to be more in me? Because let's think about it. If Jesus physically was standing here and we were still learning who he was and our life is being threatened, how much faith would we have had? There has to be a point where Jesus is revealing who he is and he was. But we're stubborn people. And we're I'm not looking at anybody. We're all stubborn. But God has to reveal himself to us our whole life to remind us of who he is. But Jesus was fulfilling something that was written in the scriptures of old, in the book of Psalms, that they were witnessing physically. Let me read this to you in Psalm 107, 23 through 30. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and scatter like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven. Isn't that what happened that we just read in the New Testament? And as soon as the storm was calm, they were already on the other side. The experience that God wanted to take them through was accomplished. And they stood in awe. What did they say at the end? Do you remember what they say? Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Does that mean that they don't quite grasp who Jesus is? It's easy for us to judge them. But do we not sometimes grasp who Jesus is in our life? It's an ongoing faith-building circumstance. In Psalm 89:9, it says, "You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them." Psalm 93:4 says, "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea." Are we going to fear the circumstances we are in? And when I'm saying fear, let me make this other statement. Fear is an unbelief in God and offends God. That doesn't mean I'm not referring to fearing God in respect to who he is. I'm talking about fear in any given circumstance. When we fear in a given circumstance, any circumstance, then we've chosen not to believe God. Because fear is the opposite of faith. And yet fear is a human part. When you read testimonies of missionaries, you read testimonies of men that God has used greatly or women that God has used greatly, it's astounding how they're come up against a situation and their faith stands bold like that bird on a rock. You know? And they only got there because they went through storms. And they learn to have faith and not to fear. God's going to take care of it. We can trust him. Or are we going to believe and have faith in God and trust his word? I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Jewish idiom is, you are the apple of my eye. You are the focal point of my joy in life. You and I are his focal point, his joy. Trusting God and his word in any circumstances pleases him. What's happening when we go through the storm? You know, if we can see the storm, because sometimes storms will come and hit us up on the backside of the head and we didn't expect it. Right? So it catches us off guard. And we kind of get disorientated. But as soon as we get orientated, what we need to do is say, I trust you, God. I know you got this. And I need you to continually just carry me. And when we ask God to carry us, what are we saying? Just tenderly, lovingly, faithfully, Lord, pick me up and just carry me. That requires faith. God will get us through it. God has his purpose and plan. God works all things for our good to those who are called by him and love him. Paraphrasing that verse. God is revealing himself to us as he opens our eyes and minds to the majesty and to the power and to the authority of Christ in the storm. There's the excitement. There's the thing that we can look at a storm with a different perspective. When we can look at the storm and say, God is going to reveal himself to me, his majesty, his authority, his kingship. He's going to reveal his power to me, which is beyond my own capability. He's going to reveal his authority to me. That's the nugget. In the midst of the storm, you're going to reveal yourself to me that my faith will be greater in you. God wants to reveal himself to us through the storm that our faith may have the opportunity to grow in him. So as Christians, we're going to have storms. But if we can look at storms from God's perspective of faith and opportunity, we've got a head start on many who look at storms with fear. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Father, you know each of our lives. You know the squalls of storm, if you will. You know the tempestuous storms. You know the mass quantity of storms. You know how storms come in droves where they hit and they hit and they hit and they hit, seemingly unceasingly. But you're there. You're with us. You're in our life. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You love us with a love that's greater than we can know, that is immeasurable, and that is eternal. You are in control. You understand all things. If we can just surrender to you with that confidence, Father, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of times where we're overwhelmed with circumstances, in times when our hearts are broken or in despair, may we just make the decision to say, Lord, I love you and I know you love me. Just carry me and I will trust you to take care of me through this storm. And Father, I know you will. So help us to be your faithful people. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ here today. Thank you, Father, for the work that you do through your word. For your word goes out and never comes back void. We praise you for that. Now, Father, help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.